This is the week that we focus on giving thanks. Truth is, we should focus on that every day because that's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. It's a day that was created in the 1600s by the pilgrims and the Indians celebrating the harvest, a show of their peace and their work together. But it wasn't until 1863 that Abraham Lincoln established it as an official holiday. And I hope that you plan on celebrating by giving thanks, no matter what you're doing on Thursday, that you stop and give God thanks for what He's given. We go through this room and really probably get a lot of thanks when we just stop everything else and pay attention and think about giving thanks. We can come up with a lot of stuff, anywhere from family to friends to jobs to schools to stuff. But as followers of Christ, we should always have something to be grateful for. We can always be grateful for the love of God. We should be grateful for the way He demonstrated His love to us by shedding His blood on the cross. You grateful for that? We should be thankful for the grace that He gives to us as sinners. That He, through faith in His Son, justifies us, sanctifies us as His own. We should give thanks for the patience that He has with us as each day we struggle with our flesh. Give thanks. We give thanks for the promise of eternal glory with Him. We give thanks for the word that He's given to us so we can better know Him. We give thanks to the permanency of the Holy Spirit living within the believer. Give thanks. Amen. Today I want to focus on something that each of us should be grateful for. That often it gets taken for granted. Sometimes only used for someone's convenience. Or maybe only participate in when it's convenient for them. Others take advantage of it to get what they want out of it, but won't serve or invest in it. And yet we have some that use their life to grow it, to serve it, to care for it. And you know what that is. That's our church. That's you and me. That's this body of believers that gather together to worship and to challenge each other and to grow together. Now, the church is not everyone gathered here. The church are those that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, have been saved and adopted into His family, that are covered by His blood, that have called on Him for salvation, that walk by faith in obedience to His word, being conformed to His image. If that's you, to you I say, thank you. Thank you. If you open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and later we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But here in 1 Thessalonians 1 may be familiar to many of you. If you've been participating in growing together in 2025 that our church is doing, where each month we're reading through the book of the Bible at the same time, kind of get our same mindset, and we're walking through together. If you're participating in that, you've already read through this month. And you've read Paul's opening to this church, the church of Thessalonica. Paul often tells churches that he loves them and appreciates them, that he's praying for them. And here he tells them that because he is encouraged by this church, because of the way they honored God. This should be the church we want to be. We want to be that church that will encourage a believer because we're walking with the Lord. We're blessed with this church family. Let me say that again. We are blessed to be a part of this church family, aren't we? And I want to evaluate Paul's opening here and make sure that we are grateful for where God has placed us. And make sure that we're a part of making this church a church that reflects Christ. And let each one of us evaluate our lives, our personal lives. And how am I a part of this work? And so 1 Thessalonians 1, starting in verse 1, says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for your love to us. We thank you for calling us out of the world, giving us life in your spirits, making us righteous in your sight, and wanting to grow us and use us. Lord, there's someone here that's never called upon you for salvation, never had a time to be born again. Today can be that day. And Lord, I each one of us that are here, that we would desire to live lives that honor you. That we would have the courage to stand for you, to do your work. That we'd have an intimacy with you, to know you deeper, to walk with you closer. And Lord, I ask that you have your way. Give me the words to say today. Lord, I ask for your clarity, for your power. That each one of us have soft hearts to personalize this. Not to look around the world, room, but to personalize and be sincere with ourselves about our walk with you. But I ask that you have your way in this service and in this sermon. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, notice that Paul humbly introduces himself in his text, just calling himself Paul, not as an apostle. In some churches, he has to used apostleship name because it has been questioned. This church must have been loving to him and intimate with him. He could just introduce himself in a humble way. I'm just Paul. I'm just one of you. Then he shares why he feels this way after he expresses his feelings. So the first thing I see is Paul's attitude to this church. Verse 2 tells us a lot. He says, we give thanks to God always for you all. That's a pretty powerful and encouraging statement, isn't it? If someone says that to you, does that encourage you? He says, we give thanks for you. See, Paul was traveling with Silvanus, you may know him as Silas, and his son in the faith, Timothy. And together, they were grateful for the people of this church. He recognized that these people were of God and placed there by God and being used by God. And imagine the effect of this church when three men are traveling, preaching, teaching, ministering, probably exhausted, and have been so deeply touched by this church that three men are sitting around talking about them. Not gossiping about them. They're talking about how grateful they are. Can you imagine them picturing that church and saying, oh, I sure miss seeing so-and-so. Oh, so-and-so, they were so encouraging to us, and so-and-so they gave to us, and so-and-so served us, and they're praying for us. And just knowing they're touched, and they're excited to see him again. There's an intimacy and a friendship and a love there that I hope you have for this church. I hope when Sunday morning comes around, you're like, man, I'm going to be there on time because I look forward to seeing people. I want to have time to chat before the loudmouth gets up there and starts talking. Yeah, I tell you, laughed a little too hard on that. Thank you. And I hope you're excited that you love this church family, but not that it just stays here, but you go out and you speak to one another. Dude, I love my church. Then when someone says, hey, you should come to church with me, you say, no, I ain't missing mine. Then we look forward to being together. I'll tell you this, Amy and I were in Brazil. We had many moments like this that we just spoke of how thankful we were for you. Different things that has happened in this church, and Our church family is such a blessing. Whether it's your ministry inside this church, there's so many different little ministries that go on that some of us don't even notice. For the last 2 weeks, somebody had to show up and turn the lights on. You notice you didn't have to come in and get the temperature adjusted or the lights turned on? Oh, that's why we don't ask you. Let me make sure she hadn't been up here. It's under 200 degrees. I had to tell Cathay yesterday, we talk about a hot place, but we don't want to be the hot place. I'm like, until the whole family walked in the back door and goes, oh, they like it hot in here. Don't use the word they, that's generalized. But anyway, we're so thankful for so many ministries that go on that sometimes we don't even notice what's going on. You realize we got someone that changes the words on here so that we can sing without having to open a book? Because we're in America. We don't open our own doors either. They open for us. We don't squirt soap on our hands, something squirts it on. It's neat that someone else is doing it. It just makes worship easier, isn't it? That someone's back there turning the mic on. I don't have to be up here trying to figure out the microphone. Someone's back there ready. Clicked it on. Right? That someone turns on the live stream so we can get going. Someone was in here vacuuming and cleaned the pews and you got your coffee cups that you forget after certain. Yeah, just throwing a hint out there. Someone pulled the trash. Why? There's so many ministries we're just grateful for. It's so neat to see. And I mention it over and over because to me it still thrills me to see our young men take an offering. And sometimes the young ladies helping them. Isn't that awesome? How thankful are we for that? Sometimes we go without noticing if we're not careful. Stop and look around sometimes and just go, oh yeah, someone had to do it. Someone had to fold the bulletin. Someone handed it to me at the door. Today I was accepting. I got like 40 hugs today. I loved it. You love us. Thank you for that. We get just laying on the bed at night after a full day of ministry, just thinking, man, we missed our church this Sunday. We go 2 weeks without seeing them. We're seeing people in this church that are growing in the Lord, have a desire to know. I've had people this year often say, what book are we reading together next month? Because I want to get a head start. Yes! That's awesome! Had someone tell me today, I read through this book again, and I got something new out of it. Amen! I love my church. I love knowing that people are getting into God's Word and loving to grow and seeing that God's still investing in them through His Word. We have people in this church that invest in this church, that give to this church. Then I go on a trip to Brazil, a church that y'all hadn't had the privilege of actually meeting yet. You knew their pastor for years. And yet many of you just gave sacrificially and lovingly to take this to that church. And I'll let you know, I gave that money to them. But I gave it to them kind of in secret, if you will. Gave it to the many people. Because I didn't want the money to be the reason for big accolades and whoop-whoops. And I told them, this much is supposed to be used for new Bibles and this much for this. And whatever you guys use it for. But they were so grateful. So thankful that we have a church that recognized the need 7,000 miles away by people you couldn't even speak to. Ask Amy, she tried. She can say more words now than before. And words you're supposed to say. And we're just thankful. We could lay on that bed and just talk about why we miss this church so much. And I hope you have these times that you can say, God has blessed me. And yes, you could, if you want, say, I'm so frustrated, so-and-so did this, and they left trash on the floor, and the baby cried, and you know who's trying to get you distracted? The enemy. That's why we name our blessings. And we count them one by one. Because once you start counting blessings, you know what? You don't have to say, I'm grateful for the weather anymore. Because you got too many other things to be grateful for. And we can go through this church and be grateful for some of the people that he's brought in. and the way they've worked and they've ministered, the ones that are growing, the ones that are starting to be more active in ministries. I remember Miss Cheryl for years trying to get, had lists trying to get people to work in the kids ministry, in the nursery for years. A few years ago when we were going to do it again, she said, it's tough. And now the list is full. Isn't it awesome? And incredible. People want to get more involved in the ministry. Whew, grateful, right? Amen. Oh, we could go on and on about how this church is just a blessing. Paul's desire for them. He says we give thanks to God always for you. And here's what he wanted for them. Did you catch it in verse 1, the end of verse 1? Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wanted them to have God's grace. That's an undeserved gift. That's a gift you do not deserve. Said, I want God, Paul wanted for this church that they receive God's blessing. That is God's forgiveness and intimacy. Why? Because ain't none of y'all or me that deserves forgiveness from God. I don't deserve to walk with God and have a relationship with God and talk to God. And yet God loves us enough, he offers it to us. He says, I want fellowship with you. So I sent the one that can allow us to have the relationship, Jesus Christ, the intercessor. And what's the result of that? God's grace? Paul said in verse 1, grace be unto you and peace. When we receive the grace of God, we can have peace because we're at peace with God. When we're intimate with God, we can walk by faith, knowing God's in control. Did you catch that piece? God's in control. As long as I'm walking in obedience, whatever happens is his plan. As long as I'm walking in obedience, catch that part. Let's not blame God on everything. A lot of the garbage that happens in our life is our own fault because I'm not walking in obedience. When I'm walking in obedience, I'm at peace. Why? God's in control. He's going to use this for his good, for his purpose. When I can walk knowing that God loves me, I know that he wants the best for me. That's why he gives me his word. And when I walk knowing that he's prepared an eternal home for me, that gives me peace. I don't have to worry about eternity. Woo, isn't that awesome? That's what Paul wants for this church. That's what we should want for this church, is the grace and peace for one another. This is what we should want for one another. This is what I pray for you. That you would feel the intimacy with God. You would have peace with him because you've accepted his grace. And when that is fact, you know the best thing we can do for one another? The best thing, the most powerful thing you can do for one another? Look at verse 2. What Paul said after he's thankful for him, he does what for him? Making mention of you in our prayers. Paul's saying, listen, I'm praying for you. That is so overrated. Saying, why'd you say that? The only reason I say that, so often we say that, and while we're saying that, we're using the name of the Lord in vain. Because we're using it as a way to feel spiritual and to say what you want to hear. Let me tell you this, if you're going to use prayer and tell people you're praying for them, you better be doing it, or you're going to answer to God for it. Don't say I'm approaching the throne of a holy God on your behalf if you're not going to do it. Don't use prayer as your, I don't got nothing better to say. I'm going to say it. I'm going to tack it on Facebook to make people feel good when they lost somebody. No, if you're going to pray for someone, pray for someone. In other words, don't wait until later. You'll forget. Stop right then. Humble yourself before the Lord for that person. Paul says, listen, we're praying for you. When someone tells you they're praying for you and you know they're praying for you, that should be the most encouraging thing for you. I've got a couple of people that tell me they're praying for me, and I know from them when they say they're praying for you, I know they've been on their knees before a holy God for me on my behalf. Whew, that's some power right there. Especially for a guy that sometimes gets too busy and forgets to pray. I'm glad you did. should humble me and get me back on my knees. See, prayers are not just a matter of I'm thinking of you. I'm wishing well for you. Prayers taking them to the throne of God, giving thanks to God for them, petitioning on their behalf, asking God to work in and through them. It's an important and active, important and loving act. Pray for one another. I love my church. How much do you pray for your church? I beg, pray for me. I need it. I need it. Pray for Amy. She puts up with me. 16 days is a long time for that poor lady. 16 hours in one plane staring at this thing? Mm-hmm. She needs your prayers too. Pray for one another. Do you take the prayer list home? That's not just an area on our bulletin to make us feel spiritual and feel good and that we can share whatever we want somebody to know about. That is a time that we get to take home and we can humbly approach the Lord and say, I don't know what's going on in their life, but you do, Lord. Use what's going on. Draw them nigh unto you. Pray for them. Think of the blessing that that family is to you. Thank God for one another. Look around this room and say, man, I haven't talked to so-and-so in a while. I thank God for them. I need to go over and talk to them. Do you ask God to work and through those people that you love so that they can see the grace and peace of God? That's our prayer for them. That's what Paul said. Listen, we love you. We appreciate you. Therefore, I am praying for you. I'm taking you to the throne of God. Paul loved this church. He spoke of them, being grateful for them. He spoke to them, telling them of his love and the appreciation. He desired God's best for them, the grace and peace. He prayed for them, which is an intimate act. And here's why they were so special. There's a verse in here that tells us why they were so special, such a special church. There's something about them that really stood out. And it's something that separated them from all others. Look at verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. There's three spiritual qualities there this church represented. Three things that really encouraged Paul when he looked at this church and he heard of this church. First one, he said, was the work of faith. It's the works we do because of our faith in Christ. What, man, anybody out there? The works we do because of our faith in Christ. We're not saved because of our works. We're saved by faith through His grace. The way He can pour out His grace onto us is because we place faith in Him. That's how we're saved. But true faith will always cause good works. A change in life. Good works no longer is about me. Good works means it's about Him. Good works means it points fingers to Him. It gets attention to Him, not on me. If I do something good and I got to brag about it, I took the finger pointing off of Him and put it on myself and I said, look at me. And God says, man, you got no rewards for me now. Good works points to Him. Good works is all about Him. And my life, because of my faith, will want to do works that points to Him. True faith will always cause change in our lives. True faith will cause us to obey and reflect Jesus. Don't say you have faith in Jesus if you won't follow His word. Can I get a yeehaw? I trust Jesus. I just hate the church. I'll tell you what, you tell me you hate my wife, you and I ain't having a relationship. Jesus created the church, saved the church, purifying the church. He calls us to be obedient to Him, to love Him. That's why James chapter 2, verse 17, you're familiar with this, it says, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone. If all you do is claim faith in Jesus, but you've never been changed, that's sanctified, you don't have a living spirit within you. you don't have the Spirit of God within you. Your faith is dead. You're not saved. You do not have the Spirit of God. Because faith in Christ will always conform you, change you. That should make a lot of us evaluate our salvation. If I don't want to be more like Christ and obedient to His Word, my faith is dead. My faith is dead. Listen to this in Philippians 2:13. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." When God works in you, He wants to work through you. He transforms you so that He can use you. When He saved you, He put the Holy Spirit within you to seal you as His own. And it's slowly what starts being revealed? The fruit of that Spirit He placed within you. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." You see, we are purchased by the blood of Jesus. Why did He purchase us? To use us for good works, to represent Him. There's really needs. We have people in His church whose lives have been transformed. That the love and passion they had for other things was transferred to God, to His things, who now use their talents, their gifts, to honor God, to honor the Lord, to serve the Lord, to give to the Lord. Make sure this church is ready for service every time because they love the Lord. They want to make sure He is honored. They help the grieving. Yesterday, many were invested in making sure a family was comforted after mourning the loss. We have people sent to the back door that have been changed and now are excited to see you walk in the door, and they want to welcome you to this church because they know it's important. And how important it is to be here. Why? Because they were transformed by God. There's people in the church that will pray for you because they know the importance that somebody was praying for them one day. We have people in the church now teaching God's Word because they love God's Word and know the importance to make sure God's Word is heard and understood. We've got people that spend time cleaning this place so we can give God our best. People that come in and organize. People have been transformed to be used by God for His service. So you see there, the first spiritual quality was the work of faith. The second one is, you see it? The labor of love. Paul says, "I see the labor of love in you." That's in verse 3 there. See, this is how we do our good works. This is how we do. The greatest command to a believer is what? Love, love the Lord thy God. And the second, after you love the Lord thy God, the second comes automatic. Love thy neighbor. Love others. You see, it all has to be done in love. Can he do good things without love? Sure. No, a lot of people don't know the Lord and they do good things. But turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, known as the love chapter. First Corinthians 13, the first three verses are very powerful. Because the labor of love, the reason we do good works, is so important. In 1 Corinthians 13, look at verse 1. "Though I speak with tongues of men and angels..." Now, let's just pause here a second, because that is so twisted. People want to use that, to speak in tongues today, and that's not at all what this is saying. He is exaggerating. Paul is exaggerating his goodness to make a point about love here. Okay, I just spent 2 weeks speaking another language. I must be more godly. Amy, listen, I don't know how many hours of me preaching in Portuguese. Okay, she didn't listen. She'll get saved. But here's what Paul says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels." Wow. That's pretty awesome. that he can speak with the tongues of all the men and all the angels, and have not charity, I become what? Sounding brass and tingling cymbals. Ka-ding! Just a bunch of noise. Why? What was missing? Charity. Love. Look at verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, I know all the word of God. God has revealed new things to me. And all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could move mountains. That's powerful, isn't it? That's pretty awesome. And yet have not charity, I am nothing. Ooh. What's missing? Love. Love. Remember, there's going to be a day that people are going to approach Christ. But Lord, we did this in your name. We did this. We did this. We did this. And he's going to say, depart from me. I don't know you. We don't have a love relationship. You did all those good things. You failed to have love. You didn't know me. Look at verse 3. And though I bestowed all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I'll stop there a second. I'm going to talk here. This isn't the verse that people don't want to speak tongues go to, because then you got to burn your body. Though I bestowed all, I give everything I have to the poor, and I put it on Facebook so everybody knows it. Or all the old people know it, because the young people are now on like TikTok and other stuff, Snapchat. But I got to announce all my goodness. I gave everything away, and I even burned my body to save somebody. And have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. What was missing? All these great, powerful acts. Good things can be done. But you notice the importance God places on love? See, nothing you do has any power, has any merit with God if it's not done in love. Because it fails to carry God's purpose. What's his purpose? Jesus gave his life and shed his blood on that cross because of his love to the Father and to the church. And he says, that's why you do what you do, is because of love. Not for attention, but because you love others. Do it because of love. Intimacy with Christ will cause us to love others. Why? If I have intimacy with the Lord and I start being conformed to him, you see how deep his love was for others? He gave himself for it. And I start being conformed to him, what am I going to start doing? I'm going to start giving my life for others. So it's a labor of love. We have people in this church that labor from love. They serve even when it's not fun. When things get hard, frustrating, and maybe even gross. Things that no one else wants to do. But you know what? They love God. They love you. They love your children. They want to make sure that you're comfortable coming to God's house, that you are fed God's word, and they're going to call and check on you. They're going to send a card to you without gossiping about you. Not needing details, just telling you we love you. They're going to watch your kids in a nursery. They're going to teach your kids in kids' ministry. They're going to do whatever it takes because their labor is from love. All they do is a reflection of the love of Jesus. And we do it, why? Because I love the Lord. So I'll do it. The labor of love. And then we see the third spiritual quality this church has. It's a patience of hope. This is the reason they endured, is they had hope in Jesus. They had hope in the promises of Christ. They had hope in the work of Jesus. And no matter what happens, no matter how hard things get, no matter if a 15-foot flood takes everything you've ever owned, every picture of your kids and grandkids that you ever had. still have patience of hope. You're going to endure because your faith isn't based on emotions. It's based on the promises of God. You see, in 1 Corinthians 15:58, listen to this. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Our faith must be based on His promise and His hope. Because Satan knows how to put distractions out there. Satan knows how to get you frustrated, to get you down and get you hurt and bothered. He'll get you discouraged and angry and frustrated. He will cause you to want to stop and quit. But if your focus is on the promises of God, if your focus is knowing that God is going to fulfill His promises, if your whole focus is patience of hope, you'll endure. You'll keep going. We have people in here in this church that even in tough times have continued loving and serving. That even as they're going through struggles and hard times, whether it's be their family, be at work, physically, they're going to be here and they're going to serve because they trust the promises of God. We don't know everything each one in this room is going through, do we? Many have gone through and some are going through trials right now that we don't know about. And yet many of them are here ready to hug you, to serve you, to pray with you, to teach your kid, to serve you a meal, to encourage you, to invest in you. Because their focus is on the hope, not on their situation, not on their emotions. And we're thankful for those people, aren't we? You see, notice why they had these three spiritual qualities. Why they worked of faith. Why they labored in love. Why they were patient of hope. Why could they practice these three things so well? Very quickly to finish here. Look at verse 4. "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." They are God's people. The word elect means to be chosen. God has chosen to save those and to use those who come to Him by faith. That's the method that He chooses people. He calls us to faith, and we are chosen when we come to Him in faith. And we recognize Jesus as Savior and humble ourselves to call out to Him for salvation. The elect are those saved by His grace to be a part of His family, to do His work, to represent His character, to spend eternity with Him. Is that you? Let me ask you. Evaluate yourself. Is that you? Are you elect of God? In other words, you heard that He's called you to faith, and you said, "Yes, sir." That you called upon the name of Jesus out of faith of His work because of His person. Is that you? If so, He calls you to these works. He's placed you in His family. He's made promises to you so that you would work out of faith, that your work would be out of love. And that your loving work would be because of your hope. We have many elect of God in this church who have recognized their need for Jesus, for a Savior, and have called on Him for salvation. And if you have not, I'd love to show you how to place faith in Jesus Christ, how to call on Him for salvation, that you, because of your sinful nature, need a Savior. I'd love to show you. I'll stay as long as it takes after church. It's not long. It's not hard. It's very simple. God has done the work already through Jesus Christ. But the elect of the church are growing in knowledge. If you're a child of God, you want to know Him better. You want to know Him deeper. You want to know His word better. If you're a child of God, if you're an elect of God, you're being conformed to His image. You're changing. Ever so slowly, but changing. If you're a child of God, you're serving God by serving others because you love others. And if that's you, I say thank you. Thank you for being in this church. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you to your love to the Lord. Thank you to your love for His church. Thank you for growing and being an example. Thank you for loving me. Thank you. That's what God has called us to, is to be His church. That because of our faith in Him, we work because of love, focused on His promises. Would you stand with me? I hope you'll look around as you go home, and before you leave church, you look around and you go home and talk to your wife, your husband, your kids, and you say, you know what? I've never said this before, but our church is awesome. I love my church. I even love that person that's so annoying on the other side of the room. Y'all like, who's on the other side of where he's standing right now? Okay. Because even that person God put in this building. I hope you can go home and just say, you know what? God has placed us in the right body, in the right family. You know what, hon? God's doing a good work. Maybe I want to be a little bit more of a part of it. It's really neat as we, as a church, we do membership here. To be an official member of the church, to vote, and to be able to teach and participate. And it's simple. We sit down and we talk that you've accepted Christ. You've had a time that you place your faith in Jesus Christ. You were born again. You're a child of God. That you were baptized to make public. And then you become a member of a church. If you've never done one of those three steps, I'd love to share with you how you can be a part. The membership part, what's the big deal? The big deal is making a commitment to a body. That you say, I want you to hold me accountable. I want you to help me grow. And I want to help this church grow. If you've never done that, I'd love to talk to you more about that. Because that's a commitment we need from one another. As we close today, let's sing a song that you're very familiar with.